Yes, please find your seats. I'd like to start this morning from Psalm 18. This is a psalm. Well, actually, let me just read. What it says about it here. This is from the NIV, right? Of David, the servant of the Lord, he sang to the Lord the words of this song when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. Right? And we all know the story of David. Now, you know, he fought so many battles with the Philistines and all of the different ites that surrounded Israel in those days. But he was also being chased by Saul. You know, Saul tried to kill him more than once in that. So David was a man who knew what adversity was. And here's what he said, beginning in verse 1 of Psalm 18. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. Then he paused to turn the page. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. And think about it, and we're a family here. Right? We know each other's stories, and you know we're concerned with children, you know, who may be walking away from the Lord or maybe dealing with addictions. Some of us have work and financial issues that we're dealing with. Others have health things. We have many things. And yet David knew where his help came from. He knew where to run, right? A refuge, right? That's a place where you go where you're in trouble. And we know that place. As believers, we're told. And there's no question that when we get to the refuge that the Lord will be there. So that's the Lord that we're praising here this morning. The Lord that is our refuge in our time of need in that. So let's pray before we praise the Lord. Father God, we thank you that you're there in our time of need, Lord. You tell us that your kingdom is not of this world, that we will have troubles in this world, but that Jesus said, I have overcome the world, and we thank you for that. Lord, place that in our hearts in a way so that it guides our steps, that it always draws us back to you, that when the pressure gets amped up, that our first and only response is to turn towards our Savior Jesus. And we thank you, knowing that you will be there. You are our refuge. Lord, now help us to praise you for who you are, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, our salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't you please stand and join us in praising the Lord.
Amen. That's right. We're going to have to stand, shake it off, get woke up. We're going to start off with This Is a Day, as it shows there are Psalms 118:24. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. That's right. No matter what we're going through, we have a lot to be thankful for. Number one, that Jesus is King and He has saved us, and that He is in control. No matter what we're going through, He is in control. Isn't that right? Amen. Why don't we start it off? This is a day. We go.
This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made.
Next slide.
We will rejoice, we will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, this is a day This is the day that the Lord hath made.
Do it again. This is the day.
Oh, this is the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. That the Lord hath made. Why we'll rejoice. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And be glad in it. Oh, this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, this is the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made.
Now we bring the sacrifice.
We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you the sacrifice of praise.
Oh,
oh, we bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy,
and we offer
up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving, and we offer up to you sacrifices of joy.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, we love you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Old things have passed away. Your love has stayed the same. Your constant grace that reigns the cornerstone. Things that we thought were dead, breathing in life again. You caused your sun to shine the darkness nights. Oh, for all you have done, you will pour out our love. This will be our anthem song. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one our hearts adore. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one our hearts adore.
Verse 2.
Hopeless have found their hope. Orphans now have their home. All that is lost has found its place in you. You lift our weary head. You make us strong instead. You look our rags and made us beautiful. For all you have done, you will pour out our love. We will be our anthem song. Jesus, Jesus, we love you. we love you. You are the one our hearts adore. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one our hearts adore. Our affection, our devotion poured out on the feet of Jesus. Our affection, our devotion poured Jesus, our affection, our devotion, poured out on the feet of Jesus, our affection, our devotion, poured out on the feet of Jesus, we love you. We love you. You are the one our hearts adore. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one our hearts adore. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one our hearts adore. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one our hearts adore. Our hearts adore. Our hearts adore. Our hearts adore. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Father God, it is our desire to adore you and to worship you and to bring you reverence. Father God, you are so worthy of all of our praise. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this opportunity to focus on you this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Build my life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Sing, worthy of all our praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one that could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Around me. worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, your name above every other name. Jesus, the only one that could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. None beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
Thank you. My life,
and I will build my life upon your love. This is our firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken.
That is our prayer, Lord Jesus. That is our prayer today, that you would lead, guide, and direct us, Lord Jesus. Fill us. Fill us with your love. Fill us with your spirit. Fill us with your power. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Everybody said,
amen.
Amen.
Thanks. You're awesome. I don't care what Nate says.
I didn't say it.
No, he would say good things. Hey, George, can you come up here for a second? I know you don't want to do this, but I'm going to ask you to come up anyway. And George, hopefully you're going to give me permission to speak freely. You might have to turn that on. I'm going to ask George. I'm going to ask George to take a minute and just pray for our country, for our veterans. We just want to recognize and say thank you for your service. You know, somebody was telling me this morning as they were coming back from their military service, you know, how difficult it was for them and how just one person came up to them and gave them a hug and just thanked them for their service in the military and overseas, and how they just broke down and just cried. And I was like, just so touched by that. And I asked George, who's also served in the military, to come up here and pray. And I know he's very much out of his comfort zone to be in front of people, but we want to pray just for our veterans and for this country. And George, I don't even know the words, but I really would like you to lead us. Whatever God puts on your heart, would you do that?
As you all know, today is Veterans Day, and today and tomorrow they'll be celebrating around the nation and in our local counties and so forth. And I can remember when I came back from serving, and we didn't receive the type of reception that we receive now. We were called village burners and baby killers. We really didn't feel very proud to be a member of the armed services at the time. But times have changed, and I can remember the first time somebody walked up to me in recent years and patted me on the back and says, "Let me shake your hand, sir, and thank you for your service." And those words touch me every time I hear them. And so I try to make an effort to let other veterans know when this time comes around that there are people out there that care about us, love us, and they show it to us in various ways. There's different places in the community that give special discounts to the military. They have free meals and a number of other things. We have a veteran stand down that we have every November up at the fairgrounds to honor our servicemen and women. And I just like to thank you all for caring about us. It's not easy going over there and doing the things that we have to do, that our country asks us to do, but we do it so that you can enjoy the freedoms that you have.
That's right.
Just remember, freedom is not free. We all pay a price, and some of us have paid the ultimate price. And so that's why I'm standing up here this morning. So I just say, God, thank you so very much for those very special men and women who have dedicated their lives to and their time to support this country, protect this country, and protect the freedoms that we all hold dear. I ask for your prayers for those who are still in the service, those that are suffering, and that you just watch over them, put your hand of protection upon them, love them as you always have. And I also ask that you continue to keep your hand of grace upon this great country.
Please.
I know we have drifted afar from what this country originally stood for when it was created, but I trust in your love for this country that you will continue to help keep us strong, and that we will hopefully come back to where you originally wanted us to be. So this morning, thank you, Lord, for your great blessings upon this country. Amen. In
Jesus' name, amen. Great job. Amen. Man. Thank you very much for all who have served, and those who are serving now, and those who are preparing to serve. Yes, amen to that too. If somebody didn't hear that, it said also to the families who are left behind. And that is also very, very true in that statement as well. And so Thank you, George, for doing that. I know that was difficult, but you did a fantastic job. Thank you for honoring our veterans in our country. All right, we're going to scroll quickly through most of the announcements. You guys know we do tithes and offerings in back. You guys, I just wanted to say thank you for everyone who participated at Holy Smoke Barbecue just last week, last Sunday, and it was a ton of people serving, and it was a great time, and I know it looked like it was going to rain all day, and so I know you guys didn't raise as much as you normally did, but I think there was almost like still $1,500 raised for Solvall, so praise the Lord in one afternoon. Praise the Lord. So thank you, Lord, for that. And I know usually you guys raise more, but we're very thankful for what you did do and for all the people who served selflessly there as well. And also thank you for everyone who helped with the pies for the school. I think there was about $600 raised for the school for that as well. So thank you for that. We also just want to make a couple of things mentioned real quickly for Bible studies. Again, we just want to encourage you to come out here for prayer Sunday mornings. Please, 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 just to be praying together and working together and crying out to the Lord together is a beautiful thing. And so we just want to not only invite you but encourage you to come. We had men's Bible study last week, and bubble study, yep. Mock me, will you? Anyways, we also have a women's Bible study. That starts this Tuesday, does it not? Okay, so ladies, women's Bible study. Becoming Who We Are in Christ. It's going to be the second Tuesday of each month now from 6:30 to 8 o'clock right here at Home Fellowship Church. I don't know if Eric is here, but we're with the kids. With the kids, rest of the kids, teaching the kids today. But anyway, that will be this Tuesday. And I just want to encourage you. I read through the book, the first chapter of Ephesians 2, and I'm envious. Because what you guys will be going through, if you want to know who you are in Christ Jesus, to understand how you are to battle and fight this fight, that is the Bible study to go to be reminded. Just read chapter 1 on your own and get your butt here. I would say that to the guys. Let me say it in a more girly way. And I think it'd be a great opportunity for fellowship. But I just love that, even that picture I thought was so, you know, just we got to be reminded of who we are in Christ. Now, here's the thing. You're going to have a million excuses for not coming. Oh, I'm too tired. I worked. I had a bad day. I'm sick. I don't know anybody. Who's going to be there? Blah, 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 blah. Those are just excuses of the enemy. Just come out, and whether there's 5 people or 55 people, just come out and share and be a part of the group. Pray together, study together, and realize who you are in Christ Jesus. Don't miss it. It's only once a month, ladies. And so be there or be square. Why what? Oh. No, once a month right now. Yep. All right. Also, youth group will be this Wednesday with Josh and Amanda Panda, 6:30 to 8:30. And then what else? We're talking about in spiritual warfare. Okay, so speaking of warfare, we talked about this last week, but if you can open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, we have been just zipping right through the book of Ephesians, going through chapter 6. We had 10 verses we started with. Yep, maybe I'll have to slow it down. I think we've got basically a verse a week. Last week we talked about a couple things. You know, there is an invisible war going on. And the bottom line is it's real. Okay? You're in it, whether you... it's real whether you believe it or not. You're in it whether you want to be it or not. The enemy's cunning whether you know it or not. We need to know we fight from victory, not for victory. Whether you understand it or not, and you gotta be prepared. You gotta be. And we're gonna talk about that too today. Okay? We talked about how there's basically 3 forces that work together to bring you down. One is the world system, it's all moving one direction. You know, the culture, the media, the news, most of it, 90% of it's moving towards a liberal way, towards a way that's apart from God's promises and what God's word says. That's just how it is. And then we have our own flesh that wants what it wants, but there is an enemy that's working against you. And that we're talking about that in Ephesians. But we have to remember that the Bible says in 1 John 4:4, that dear children, we are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. When we get saved, God's Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. And the Bible says the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives in you. Now, the problem is sometimes you don't believe it. Come on, it's true. If you're saved, sometimes you think it lives in Mark. But it lives in Susan, but not, you know. You know what I'm saying? And it all starts with the lies of the enemy. See, that's what he wants you to do, is to believe the lie. Isn't that true? Do you remember how it all started in the garden? What did it start with? Did God really say this to you? Did God really say you were chosen? Did he really say he loved you? Did he really say you are chosen for the foundation of the world? Did he really say you'd be born again by the Spirit of God? Yes, he did, Nicholas. You are right, amen, son. So here we go. When we're talking about the enemy, last week we talked about we need to be aware of the enemy, and we talked a lot about that in the past couple weeks, you know, knowing our enemy, knowing his strategies, knowing his tactics. So we need to be aware of the enemy, but not focused on him. We must recognize the power of the enemy, but not fear him. And we must be informed of his tactics, but not preoccupied with them. Okay? We talked about Ephesians 6:12, how we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities in heavenly places. We talked about how we have a personal enemy, your enemy, the devil, and he's coming to get you. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy your life. It's more about being happy. He's training our hands for battle, right? And our fingers for war. That's what here, we're in a battleground and not a playground. It's just that nobody really wants to be in the battleground. Do you know what I'm saying? Honestly. Your flesh does not want to be in a battle. You want to be in the playground. So you have to fight against yourself, right? That just wants to snooze. That wants to relax. Isn't it true? The message that we're giving here is not a fun message. It's not. You got to fight. You got to rise up. God, give me strength. Give me power. Help me to do what you want me to do. That's not a fun message. Everybody wants to just relax message. Hey, just give me a little bit of encouragement on Sunday, and then I get to go my own way and live my own life. That's what I want. And that's exactly what the devil wants. Imagine how silly if we had some of our veterans here, if they went over for battle, and they were given all their weaponry, and they were sent out on the field, and they just said, you know what, I don't want to take all this stuff, and I'm just going to bring a little lounger, and I'm just going to sit there and get some sun. They'd get a Section 8.
Or get killed or die.
People, what are you, crazy? We're in a battle here. So are you. And I know it's not popular, I know it's not fun, but listen to what's being said. Okay? Remember, there is a spiritual battle. We talked about this last week. We showed you in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 16 to 17, when they are surrounded Elijah. Remember, there's an unseen realm that's going on, and Elijah showed his servant, and all the there was an army surrounding them to kill him. And then God opened his eyes. He prayed. God opened his eyes, and all of a sudden he saw chariots of fire all around the army. And God took control. Okay? Now, somebody asked, first we're going to read it. Okay, my wife told me to do that. Make sure we do that. Can somebody please just read Ephesians 6, verse 10 through, what is it, 19? What is it, 17? Okay, would you mind? I think you're on. There's just... Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. Okay? Listen to what's being said.
Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Yes. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of the righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me that I will fiercely make known the mystery of the gospel.
Yes, excellent job. Excellent job. I guess you hold on. You can turn off the mic or Isabel can do it. Okay, so before we even get started on a couple of things on how to combat spiritual warfare, we talked about like one or two of them last time, but we'll just recap it. Somebody had asked a question, and I'd asked them to remind me about that this week. They did not until just a few minutes ago, but I've already forgotten. So you had a question, Debbie. So would you, or Mark, one of you guys had a question last week, and I said, hey, we'll get to it. But I don't remember what it was, and I want to make sure we answer it. Do you remember what it was, Mark?
Yes.
Okay. Do you want to?
Question about...
Oh, sorry, let me give you the... Any question you have. And if you're new here, you can ask questions. We're just going to answer them honestly. You may like the answer, you may not, but we're going to answer them honestly and biblically. Thanks.
It was a question about James chapter 6.
Okay.
Or I'm sorry, James chapter 4.
Okay, that sounds better.
Starting in verse 7. It says, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Okay.
The question was, okay, when he flees, does he stay away for the rest of your life, or does he come back?
That is a fantastic question, and we'll answer that by the end of the... No, I really do have it in here. But the short answer is, resist the devil and he'll flee. The word there, when it talks about it, is talking about you need to continually resist. In other words, we're going to talk about, but he comes... at opportune times. It says, we're going to read in one of the verses we're going to cover today, on that day of evil, when he comes. So picture the world going one way, your flesh wanting what you want, and then picture the enemy laying a trap for you. You know what I'm talking about. When you're really ticked off and your wife isn't giving you enough attention, or your husband, well, ha! Or, you're in that financial situation. There's a time, there's a season when you start to panic. If you would just compromise, God's principle, and he's laying out that temptation for you. Just lose your temper here. Sure, you'll blow your witness, right? But it's your boss is being so crazy right now. That's what he does. He's waiting, and then you're going to have to come at, and you're going to have to resist him again. And it's going to happen until you go to be with the Lord. Now, I know that might not be what you want to hear, but that's the truth. Now, each time you have that victory and you stand firm on God's principle, can I tell you what? You become stronger. You become more mature. In James, it also says, when we go through fiery trials all the time, that we're going to become mature and complete, not lacking anything. So those trials, I hate going through spiritual warfare. But can I tell you, because I have gone through so much, I can share with people, you might think I'm crazy, but blank. Oh, I don't think you're crazy. This has happened to me. Really? Absolutely. Oh, this is gonna sound nuts, but this is actually happening. Yes, I get it completely. I went through this type of situation, and you'll be able to minister because you'll have known that you can trust the Lord, and you'll become stronger. Does that make sense? Okay. All right. Now, so here we go. We're going to read this. We're going to talk about, first thing we need to do is be prepared, putting on the full armor of God. Okay, we went over that last. We're going to read through that today, Lord willing. The first thing we do on how to combat spiritual warfare, we're going to talk about that, putting on that full armor in just a minute. Maybe I should talk about it now. No. Also praise the Lord, right? So speak, sing, read, play scriptures, worship music. It says that the enemy is a prince of the power of the air. So you just speak his praises all the more when you're getting attacked, when you're feeling oppressed, when you're feeling depressed, right? You know, there are times when I'm feeling like I'm on top of the world and I'm going to go do something for the Lord and I feel like, oh my gosh, you're the biggest loser in the whole world. You need to get out of here. You need to quit. You need to run. You need not to do it. Don't go to that Bible study. Don't speak the word. Don't give that Bible. Don't give whatever it is. That's what he's telling you. Don't get up there and sing. Don't play worship. Don't give to that ministry. Don't give up your finances to God's work. You've got whatever it is. That's what he's attacking you with. Whatever it is. Now, I can absolutely 100% guarantee you there are people, now don't judge them, there are people that should be here right now today. And if you'll notice, there's a bunch of empty seats here today. 100% guarantee you that the enemy is keeping them away. Because the enemy doesn't want you to be equipped. He doesn't. So we went over this last time, Psalm 150, you guys know. I mean, if you read Psalm 50, just praise him. And especially when you're going through those hard times. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the mighty heavens. Praise him for his powerful acts. Praise him for his abundant greatness. Praise him with a trumpet blast. Praise him with a harp and lyre. Praise him with a tambourine and dance. I guess the old Baptist churches didn't hear that one. Anyway. Yes, dance. Praise him with flute and strings. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. That's Psalm 150. And in Hebrews 13:15, sometimes we don't feel like praising the Lord. Sometimes we just don't. There are times that I don't. You're a pastor. Well, you know what? There's times when I'm sucking my thumb and feeling sorry for myself. I'm not happy about that. I'm embarrassed about that. But there are times when it just gets to you. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I want to take my ball and go home. It's then when it says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. And sometimes it's a sacrifice. I don't feel like it right now. But Lord, I know you're good. And I know I can trust you. And I know I'm going to stand for you. And I'm going to do it anyway, Lord. And I thank you, Lord. And I think of the good things. The fruit of lips that openly profess his name. Listen, people want to see you praising the Lord. The enemy doesn't want to see that. Think the enemy's ever happy about you praising the Lord? No. Especially in those situations, because that can be such a witness for the Lord.
Hey, Darren,
yes.
Could praising
microphone.
God be a way...
Sorry, we just want to hear. Yeah.
Can praising God be a way to resist the devil?
Absolutely. Because even as you're, sometimes I just start worshiping. You know, I don't want to give anybody the visual. Sometimes it's in the shower, whatever. Whenever you're hit with it, sometimes, you know, you can put on a CD in the background in your house and let the worship of praises of the Lord just ring. You know, sometimes it can be in your car and you just sing or you speak it. Absolutely. That's a way to battle and combat spiritual warfare. Let it go. The enemy hates that. So why not let the praises of the Lord ring? From your car, from your home, from your lips, from your radio. Let it ring. The other thing how to combat spiritual warfare is to pray. Okay? Pray to Jesus. Pray for others. Ask for prayer. Listen to this, guys. Pray for protection for people, discernment, clarity, strength, peace, perspective, help. There's tons of stuff that you can pray. For yourself, for me, for your husband, wife, your friend, you know. Listen, for our country. Yes, Nate, I'm sorry to make you... I see a couple of hands up. Hands ups? You tell, either one, doesn't matter.
Heck, even you could pray for people that pop up in your mind, your enemies, your friends.
Absolutely.
People you know who are struggling in the church, people who aren't coming to the church.
Absolutely. Pray for those. The Bible says to pray for those. Pray for your enemies or those who despitefully use you. Absolutely. Pray. And pray to combat spiritual warfare. Boy, I'm going to talk about this in a minute, but boy, talk about turning. The enemy wants you to get all self-absorbed. Nobody likes me. I'm just thinking about myself. I'm not going to do anything. No. You start praying for other people when the enemy comes to get you. Now, you start doing that on a regular basis. Well, the enemy's like, oh, I don't want to mess with you because you turn it around. And you turn it back on me. I don't like that. So if the enemy comes back at you, you turn it around. You take the weapon out of his hand. We'll talk about that in a second. I'm sorry. Yes, please. Go ahead.
excuse me. I really need to ask this question.
Anything.
I've pondered it for so many.
It's all natural.
Last couple years. I pray a lot in my head.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I used to be more outgoing
uh-huh.
with my prayer because I was around church and all kinds
sure.
of places where people were praising God and everything, but I'm alone so much in my life that I find the last few years as I'm older, I pray more without ceasing all the time.
Yes.
But am I being fooled? I mean, you said, let the air be filled with your voice.
Mm-hmm.
Let the air be filled with your praises.
With praise. Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering, maybe I should be more vocal.
Okay. Well, I think you can do either. You know, there are some times where I realize that I'm actually being attacked by the enemy, and I will start speaking his praise out, or I'll say out loud, no. Putting thoughts in my head that are ungodly, I'll say it out loud. No, in Jesus' name. And then I'll start praying. Sometimes it's out loud. Sometimes it's not. I don't think, I think you have to ask the Lord specifically on that one. I don't think it's like, uh-oh, she's one of those that prays quietly. I don't want to bother with her. Or she's one of the ones that prays out loud. I think the main point is that you're praying. But ask the Lord, because there may be times where he wants you to pray out loud. So just ask him what he wants you to do, but either way is okay. But the bottom line is to pray. And Jerry, you know, Hebrews 4:16 says too that we can approach because of Jesus, not because of we're righteous, because a lot of times, oh, I'm such a sinner, I can't pray, it's not going to be effective. Listen, because of Jesus, we can approach God's throne of grace with confidence. Not because we're anything special, but because he's special. We can approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we can receive mercy and find grace. God, I need your grace right now to fill me up. I need it right now, Lord. I'm weak. Lord, fill me. And it says to help us in our what? In our. You can come boldly to the throne and ask for help because of Jesus. Now, even if you haven't been saved yet, let me tell you, there's one prayer that I know that the Lord will hear every time you pray. Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm in need of salvation. Will you take over my life? Will you help me to live for you? You can confess your sin and give yourself over to him at any time. And you can have forgiveness. That's amazing. Well, listen, the Bible also says to pray continually. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, all the time, I do that in my head all the time. Sometimes we'll be having a conversation, right? And I'm saying, Lord, do you want me to speak about this? Do you not? But the Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:1, I exhort you, first of all, to make that supplications, prayers, intercession, giving thanks be made for all men. So he wants us to be praying for everybody. So pray to Jesus. Pray about everything, right? And then I don't know which one's better, this one or this one. But anyway, it says in Colossians 4:12 that Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, sends his greetings. And it says, he is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in the will of God, mature and fully assured. Listen, if you don't know what to pray for or who to pray for, think of somebody in here. There's someone in here right now who is very weak. They're weak in the Lord. They need your prayer. There's some in here that don't know the Lord at all. They're not saved. They come to church. They're not saved. There's some in here that have walked with the Lord for many years, and the enemy is doing everything he can to knock her down, to trip her up, to trip him up. They need your prayers. That's intercessory prayer. He's wrestling, right? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, right? Same word, paule. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, that hand-to-hand combat like we talked about last week. He's wrestling in prayer for you. But everybody turn in your Bibles to 2 Samuel 23, 20 verse 1. 2 Samuel, Chris, can you do me a favor? Could you hit that light for a second for my eyes? Thanks. 2 Samuel chapter 23. It's before Kings and Chronicles. 2 Samuel 23. Get there myself. Hopefully I got the right. Okay, when he's talking about David's mighty men, as you're turning there in 2 Samuel 23, there's a lot there that you can talk about. But there's something in 2 Samuel 23 that for me, it's a physical picture here, but it's also a spiritual picture of spiritual warfare for me, okay? 2 Samuel chapter 23, starting in verse 20. Did I have it right up there? Good. Okay, speaking of David's mighty men, okay, I'm just going to read it to you. It says, Benaniah, son of Jehoiada, was a valiant fighter from Kabzeel who performed great exploits. He went down, he struck down two of Moab's best men. He also went down into a pit on a snowy day and killed a lion. And he struck down a huge Egyptian. Although the Egyptian had a spear in his hand, Benaniah went against him with a club, and he snatched the spear from the Egyptian's hands and killed him with his own spear. First, there's a little spiritual picture, I think, here, okay? First here, this man of God, right, or this woman of God, he went down into the pit on a snowy day and killed the lion. You know the Bible says that your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, right? He seeks to get you separated from the flock, from the herd, to get you scared, to get you weak, and then pounce on you. But here, the fighter went down. He went down into the pit. Okay, when we get into the pit, you know what I like to do? Suck my thumb. I like to hide in the pit, pull the covers over my head type of thing. And God's saying, no, I just don't want you to be on the defensive only. I want you to get down in that pit. Okay, so maybe some of you are in the pit of despair. Maybe you're depressed. Maybe you're just so fearful. It's just like almost like a wave. I can't even handle it. Maybe you're so anxious that you can't do anything. You're just stuck in this pit. There's a lion here. It's the enemy, and he's whispering this to me. I can't get out. Well, you know what you do? You kill that lion. You go down into that pit. You're just trying to get out. I just want to claw my way out. No, you kill that lion, that enemy that's coming after you in the name of Jesus Christ. There's a picture here, too, because greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world, the Bible says. And listen to this. Listen to this. It says that in verse 21, and he struck down a huge Egyptian. Now, an Egyptian, Egypt in the Bible is usually a picture of the world. Okay, for some of you guys who know that, yes? So what he's saying is, okay, so here's the world, right? It's coming at him. The enemy is coming at him, the world, right? With a spear in his hand. Well, he didn't. Here you got this huge Egyptian, right? Okay, coming at him with, you know, iron, and he's got a little club. He's got nothing, a club. And it says that he took the spear out of this Egyptian's hand and killed him with his own spear. Here's what I'm saying to you. When the enemy comes at you, okay, let's say the enemy comes back you with condemnation, and you're feeling so condemned you can't even stand, right? Now, you want to wallow in it. or you're just so freaked out, I can't take anymore. I'm so overwhelmed, or whatever it takes. You know, whatever it is for you, he's coming at you. How about you take that spear out of his hand? Okay, you're really depressed. You're really sad. You're really depressed. How about you? You know what? I'm going to pray for her because I know she's suffering with depression. I'm going to pray for him because I know that he's struggling with. So I'm going to, the more the enemy comes at you with a weapon, right? Lust. The enemy's coming at me with lust. Okay, right now, okay. I'm going to start praying for other guys that the Lord would protect them from lust. Lord, protect Mark. Lord, protect Gary. Lord, protect Anthony in Jesus' name. Lord, do you know what I'm saying? I'm feeling anxious, okay? I'm going to pray for Mary Kate. Lord, will you help her to be anxious about nothing, but in prayer and supplication, let her request be known to you, and the peace of God that transcends all understanding would be upon her in Christ Jesus. Lord, I just pray right now, Lord, that you would replace any anxious thoughts that Delene is happening, Lord, and I, with strength, with trust in you, help her to trust in you in her situation right now, God. Lord, if that fear is coming in right now, and you just turn it around, you take whatever weapon the enemy is using to stab you with it, take it out of his hands, and you start using it against him. Even pray out loud. Ooh, that's going to tick him off. He's not going to like that at all. Does that make sense, guys? Yes, Nathan.
The Christian artist Carmen years ago had a song, I think it was in Champion, that said, when Satan reminds you of your past, remind him of his future.
Absolutely.
And that always stuck out as it goes along.
Absolutely. Good. Yes. So true.
The enemy's, one of his best weapons is to isolate us. He wants to separate us from each other. He wants to separate us from the Word.
Gosh.
Most
yes.
importantly, he wants to separate us from the Lord.
Yes.
Because he knows that if it's him against me, he wins.
Yes.
If it's him against me and the Lord, he loses.
That's right.
And that,
that's why the Bible says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Because it's him. It's not your power. You try to do it on your own, you're going to flop and fail. But you turn it around. Every time he comes at you now, you go on the offensive. You go down into that pit and you kill that lion. You take that spear from his hands and you kill him with it. Now listen, this isn't making sense to you if you don't understand a lot about the spiritual warfare that you're going through. But it's real. Andy, yes. Please.
I think we need to remind ourselves during this sermon that it's not a literal act of killing.
Right.
It's a mental act.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Spirit of the Lord helping us to defeat the enemy, but it's not a literal.
Correct. That's fair. Right. So when you're coming in and you're just so afraid and you can't move, right? You're Lord, help me to kill that fear in Jesus' name. It's paralyzing me. So Lord, I'm going to start praying for others too that are suffering from this. I pray for myself. I'm going to remind myself of what the Word says. Don't fear those who can kill the body, but fear, you know, just reminding myself of the Word every time. Does that make sense? Replacing those thoughts with the Word. So not only do we put on the full armor of God, not only do we praise God when we're how to combat spiritual warfare, but we also pray to Jesus, we pray for others, and we ask for prayer. If you read Ephesians 6:9, this is the Apostle Paul. This is a guy who got stoned, and when I say stoned, you guys know what I'm meaning. Like, I'm not talking about he's taking drugs and getting high and pot. I mean, he's stoned with stones. And here's a guy whose handkerchiefs actually heal people, okay? Power of God raising, holy cow. And he says, if you read Ephesians 6:19, he's asking for prayer. Can I tell you, I ask people all the time, hey, you want me to pray for you? No, I don't want to ask for prayer. Can I just tell you what that is? That's pride. I don't mean to hurt your feelings. You're just being prideful. It's also what? Yeah. Okay, Gary said that, so I'm going to repeat what Gary said. so you can stone him later. You know, Gary also said, but he's true, it's stupid. That's exactly what the enemy wants you to do. Remember that that's what the enemy, I can be like the Most High God, right? It was pride. So you don't need that church. You don't need that Bible study. You don't need that sermon. You don't need the blah, blah, blah. You don't need to read that book. You don't need that prayer. You don't need to ask for accountability help. Isolation. No, Paul asked for prayer. But also, how do I combat spiritual warfare? Put on the full armor of God, praise God, pray, and pronounce the word. Okay? And I just had to think of something that came up with a P. Okay, so anyway. But basically, it's to take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ and speak and read the word of God. So the enemy is going to whisper stuff in your ear. And you need to combat what the enemy has to say with what the word of God has to say about it. Does that make sense? But if you don't know the word of God, you got nothing to fight with. Listen, everybody, go to Matthew chapter 4. Jesus gave us a perfect illustration of spiritual warfare for you and for me. So go to Matthew chapter 4. Everybody turn your Bibles there. It's not going to kill you. Turn a couple pages. I'll get my wife to do it. I'll get my husband to do it. No, you do it, kids. Go, Matthew chapter 4. And if you'd hit the lights for me, Chris, thanks. He actually gave us an illustration. First, he showed us what spiritual warfare is real, right? And then he shows us, I love this, how to actually deal with it. That's really cool. Okay? So Matthew chapter 4, I'll start in verse 1. Yeah, Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, it says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. Listen to this. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And then the tempter came to him. First off, when he was at full strength, was the enemy there for him? When is the enemy attacking you? Yes, when you're weak. When you're tired. Sometimes he'll attack me after a spiritual victory. Things will go super great on a Sunday or a Bible study. I'll be like, ah. And then he like tries to trip me up right after that. Or his usual MO is to trip me up beforehand. Sometimes it'll be thoughts like, I can't do this. Why am I even trying? There's no way I can teach this. I can't. Sometimes, let me tell you, it'll be a supernatural thing. Listen to this. Here's sometimes how spiritual warfare works. This was like a month ago. Anyway, a few weeks back, right, I do my own PowerPoint slide, so I look for pictures, okay? So I'm looking for a picture for the PowerPoint slide. I am riding high. Things are flowing. I'm excited about what God's doing, putting it up there. Fantastic, right? I type in a scripture verse. I won't tell you what it was. I type in a scripture verse, right? Scripture verse. Address. Then I type images. There's a picture of Jesus. I said, oh, that'd be a great background, right? I feel fantastic. Nothing can stop me now. I'm not kidding you. And I felt like empowered. The Holy Spirit was flowing. I clicked on the picture and copy it, right? And it's going to be the background. And all of a sudden, all these naked women pop up. And a video, Kylie wants to send pictures of herself. Do you accept? No, click, click, click. Scripture verse, picture of Jesus. Now I'm feeling completely and you know what happened? I'm feeling totally. So then I'm like, oh my goodness, I just feel. Now my mind's, you know, it's the images are there. So then I go to a completely different picture, completely different picture. I won't even tell you what it was. It was another godly picture, right? Click. Something totally different site. It was a trap. Same thing. Click. Got it. That's how the enemy completely derailed. Lord, okay. So I'm like, Lisa, man, you got to pray for me, man. I'm trying to, I can't. You see what I'm saying? Yucky stuff. Purposely trapped. You know what I mean? Scripture verse, picture of the Lord, picture of another godly. That's how he works. The enemy wants to trip you up. It's terrible. Okay, Lord, help me just to refocus. Lord, help me just to focus on you, to fix my thoughts on you. But in Matthew chapter 4, listen to this. It says, after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him. The tempter came to him and said, if you're the Son of God, I like that. He already knew he was. But anyway, if you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. So here it is, the lust of the flesh, right? Here's the physical temptation. And what did Jesus do? Jesus said, it is written. What did he go back to? The word. See, if you don't know the word, you got nothing to go back to. David said, I've hidden your word in my heart that I wouldn't sin against you. You are foolish if you are not reading the Bible. And read the Bible and pray every day. You know, if you need a devotional, come see me. I'll give you a devotional. You need a Bible? We'll give you a Bible to read. Whatever you need audio teachings, we'll give you audio teachings. You need a commentary? We'll give you a commentary. But you have to do it. He says, it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Booyah! Verse 5 says, then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand in the highest point of the temple. If you're the Son of God, there's that doubt again. That's what he wants to do, right? If you're the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down. Now the devil's going to use scripture. For it is written, huh? He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift up, lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. So here's the spiritual, right? This is the pride of life the Bible talks about. The lust of the flesh, now the pride of life, right? And how did Jesus answer? Jesus answered, hey, it is also written, because he left some of scripture out, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Booyah, right back at you. And again, the devil took him to a very high mountain, right? And it says, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. And what did Jesus say? Jesus said, away from me, Satan. Resist the devil and you'll flee, right? For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And then it says the devil left him and the angels came and attended him. I'm going to tell you one other thing too. In Luke chapter 4, if you guys can just go there really quickly, Matthew, Mark, Luke, I want to show you something. I think I have it somewhere else, but Luke chapter 4, to the right. Luke chapter 4, verse 13, it gives us one little extra verse. In Luke chapter 4, verse 13, it says, when the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him forever. No, it doesn't say that. It says he left him until an opportune time. Does that make sense? He wants you to fall. He's laying a trap for you. Part of it is knowing that that's what he's doing. So yes, he's looking for opportunities to make you fall. So you have to be aware of that so that you know to stand firm. So you go, you put on the full armor of God, you praise God, you pray to Jesus, pray for others, ask for prayer, you pronounce the word. And I love this. The Bible is meant to be bread for daily use, not cake for special occasions. A lot of people are like, we got a Bible on our shelf. Oh, that's nice. Oh, hey, once a week on Sunday, right? No, you eat bread, you eat food every day. God wants you to eat spiritual food every day. If not, you're going to be weak for the rest of your life. Now, I can't make that choice for you. You have to do it. I want you to be strong. It's his truth that will do that. Joshua 1:8 says, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you will meditate on it, think about it, chew on it day and night so it takes over your thoughts, so that you'll be careful to do all that is written in it. Then you'll be prosperous, and then you'll have success, God says. And I love that verse. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Man, that's even more important than your food. And then the last thing is, put on the full armor of God, praise God, pray to Jesus, pronounce the word, and persevere in Christ. Persevere. We've got such weak, wimpy playground Christians. Holy schmolies. James 1:2-4 says this. I want you, Christian, to consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. You're going to face them. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces what? Perseverance. So let perseverance finish its work so that you may be what? Mature and complete, not lacking anything. Somebody asked me a question this week. Well, why does God allow these attacks to happen? And this is why. He wants you to be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So you can train your son, you can train your daughter, you can train your friend, you can train people that you care about. That's why. If he was done with you, he would have taken you to heaven. He's not. The Bible says in Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest. Big old honking if we don't give up. You just persevere when you're being attacked. Yes, Mark.
You know, this sounds like I'm not going to be allowed to stay in my comfort zone if I want to get involved in this. And even if I don't want to get involved in this, I'm going to be out of my comfort zone. Is that correct?
You know what? In one sense, I hate to say that. Yeah. That's exactly correct. You know what? We've got a lot of people in their comfort zone. You got to step out. If you don't know Jesus and haven't given your life over to him, holy cow, you're already in the enemy's camp. You're already on the wrong time. Step out. He's calling you. Today is the day to salvation. Right now. And if you do know him, man, he wants you to get ready. Okay. All right, back to Ephesians 6. Verse 13 says, after it talks about our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, authorities. Against this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places, it says, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, in other words, again, opportune time, when the day of evil comes, you'll be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, stand. So he's not even saying first, you're not on the offensive, but first, I just want you to stand your ground. You've already have victory in Christ, right? Imagine this, in Iraq, when they would take a town from the enemy, right? The first thing they do is secure their positions. Wouldn't that make sense? It's the same thing so to you, so that you can stand. So God's given us a call and a mission, okay? And Satan's trying to thwart it. So we need to, if you're born again, you need to stand on Christ's power. You need to stand in faith in spiritual warfare. You know, so Romans 5:2 says we stand in God's grace. We stand in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am born again. I am free from sin, every blemish. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15:1 says that. We stand in courage and strength, says 1 Corinthians 16:13. We stand in faith. 2 Corinthians 1:24, we stand in Christian freedom and liberty. Galatians 5:1, we stand in Christian unity. We stand. Philippians 1:27, we stand in the Lord. Philippians 4:1, and we stand mature and complete in the will of God. Colossians 4:12, stand firm. Put on that full armor. Stand up, stand out, and stand firm. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, Be on guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Be unmoving when it comes to the things of the Lord. The Bible also says that you and I are more than conquerors. Now listen. Can I tell you something? A conqueror, to me, is the one that's still standing after the battle, right? Isn't that true? Back in the old days, right? If you're still standing, you're the conqueror, right? So to be more than a conqueror is to know that you already have won the battle before you even get in it. You just have to suit up. You just have to get ready. You just have to go in and fight. And you've won. That's why the enemy works so hard to stop you from coming. Then he goes on in the next verse, in Ephesians 6. And he says, here's what I want you to do. Put on that full armor of God, right? And stand firm. He says, first, I want you to look at verse 14. Look at me, guys. Look at what your Bible says. Stand firm with a belt of truth buckled around your waist. So Paul he's a prisoner right now as he's writing this, and he's actually shackled to a Roman soldier. So he's using this illustration when he says, put on the full armor of God. And he's going to go down a list of things. That's an illustration for us, okay? Now, here's the thing. Some people do this, and if you do that, this is okay. Some people, if they're experiencing a hard time or trials, they put on spiritual warfare. Here's what they do. They go, okay, I'm going to go down this list. Lord, I just put on the belt of truth. Lord, I put on the sword of the Spirit. Lord, I put on the helmet of salvation. Lord, I put on the gospel of peace, of shoes. I put on my shield of faith. And if you do that, there's nothing wrong with that. That's a good reminder. Sometimes people will pray that every day as they get up in the morning. It's a good reminder. But can I tell you, it's not about that. No disrespect. It's not about, hey, I'm in trouble. Let me pray a quick prayer. And bing, bang, boom, it's all good. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's about a lifestyle to be lived. Do you know what I'm saying? Okay, Lord, I just pray the belt of truth around me. Okay, I'm going to live lies, and I'm going to tell lies all the time, and I'm going to live in a way that dishonors you, but I just pray that belt of truth is on me. Ooh, yeah. You are fooling yourself. Do you know what I'm saying? It's a lifestyle to be lived. So what he's saying is, I want you to put the belt of truth. Start, when you put on the armor of God, with the belt of truth. Now, the belt goes all the way around you, doesn't it? And who does the Bible say is the truth? Jesus. So you start with the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Everything that he is, that's what you start off with. Okay? Everything about you as a believer should be true. If it's not, you need to get that lion out of your life. Everything about Jesus is true. Listen to what he says. This happened, I don't know if I wrote down the scripture, but it's in John chapter roughly 17 or 18. He said, as he was with Pontius Pilate, if you can hit that light switch for a second, thanks. He told Pilate, Pilate's like, don't you understand I could have you executed or not? And he's like, you have got no power over me. He's like, listen, for this poor purpose I was born. And for this purpose, I have come into the world to testify about truth. That's why he's here. He's testifying. Everything about him is truth. It doesn't say that he just speaks truth. It says he is truth. And everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Hey, you wonder why some people get it and some people don't? Some people don't really want the truth. They want to live the way they want to live. Do you want the truth? In Proverbs, it says, buy the truth and don't sell it. It's so precious. It's worth more than precious jewels, worth more than gold or silver. And Pilate's like, what's truth? Isn't that how it is today? Truth, schmooth. Hey, your truth is no better than my truth, right? Everything's relative, right? No, there is truth. You have to decide. Are you going to receive the truth? So Jesus goes around your waist. Picture it this way. Now, this is a bad replica, okay? It's because it's kind of wimpy. But it would go around your waist, all right? And everything would hook into this. The armor would hook into the belt of truth. The sword, the scabbard for the sword would hook into the belt of truth. Okay? So all the rest of the equipment functions on the truth. If you don't have the truth around you, if you don't have Jesus around you, if you're not a man of truth or a woman of truth, you're setting yourself up for attack. Everything starts with the truth. Okay? Listen to this. John 8:44 says, when he was speaking to some religious leaders, he said, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth, and there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." So I want you to think about this. Oh, I'm just telling a white lie. It's not hurting anybody. You're speaking Satan's language. See, when you lie, Jesus is the truth. You're hurting your father's heart. Oh, I'm just telling a white lie or a little lie or a brown lie or whatever you want to say. You're speaking Satan's native language. Or you listen to lies. Listen. Satan, that's where he's coming from. He's the father of all lies. He's the one that gives birth to it, so to speak. You're children of the truth. Everything that you do should be of the truth. You stand on the truth no matter what, no matter who comes your way. You speak truthfully. Listen, I want to give you a few Bible verses about the truth. And Proverbs 12:22, God says some strong things. It says he detests lying lips. Well, I tell the truth most of the time, Pastor Darren. Well, that means that what are you doing the other time? You're dishonoring the Lord? You're giving honor to Satan? It says he detests lying lips. That's a strong term, right? But he delights in those who tell the truth because it honors him. Every time you tell the truth, you're choosing to honor God. Every time you lie, you're honoring Satan. How about that? John 14:16-17 says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world can't accept him because it doesn't see him or know him, but you know him because he lives in you and he'll be with you. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of truth. The church is supposed to be, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 3:15, the pillar and foundation of truth. But most people don't even spend most of their time preaching the Bible. Oh yeah, we'll sing a lot of songs or we're going to tell some good stories. It's about the truth. The church of the living God is the pillar and foundation of truth. Boy, have we come a long way. John 17:17, Jesus said, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." That's why you want to put that stuff in you. Everything about you as a Christian should be true. All the rest of the armor hinges on that. And then it says, "I put on the breastplate of righteousness." Now, I'm a guy, so I love this armor. Okay? This is a picture of what the Roman armor would wear. A lot. It is very heavy. In fact, Neely said, "You know what, Pastor Darren? I wore it to youth group one time, and I need help getting that baby on. It's heavy." But you know what it's supposed to do? It says to put on the breastplate of righteousness. It protects your what?
Heart.
Actually, the word, the breastplate of righteousness, it says it's thorax in Greek. It just means from your neck to your belly button. So everything, all the vital organs is protected. And I don't know if you can see this, because it says breastplate, you just think, oh, it's just this. But actually, it wraps all the way around. Mm-hmm. Do you notice that? That's Christ's righteousness. He has got your back. He has got your front. You see, he is what I'm robed in. He is my righteousness. I'm not righteous on my own. I am bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's him who cleanses me from all my sins. He is my righteousness. He is my defense. He protects my heart. The Bible says, guard your heart. It's the wellspring of life because everything flows from it. You have to protect your heart. It's Christ's righteousness that surrounds you front and back. Job 29:14 says, I have put on righteousness and it clothes me. Isaiah 61:10 says, I am overwhelmed with joy in the Lord my God, for he has dressed me with the clothing of salvation and draped me in a robe of righteousness. It's all about him. Galatians 3:27 says, for all of you were baptized into Christ, have been clothed, you've clothed yourself with Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. That armor is to protect you. Jesus is supposed to be protecting your heart, front and back. The truth is, and it'll clip into the truth, right? It's going to talk about some other important things. It's going to talk about in a minute. Well, not in a minute. It's going to talk about the helmet of salvation. Because you know where the battlefield is really fought most of the time? In your thoughts. Isn't that true? You're going to need to know this. We'll go over this next week. You're going to need to know the Word of God so that you're fighting with the Word, which is the sword of the Spirit, not a swizzle stick. God wants you to learn to rightly handle the Word of God, but you need all these things together, your feet fitted with the gospel of peace. You're going to find they had nails in it. Well, we'll talk about that next week. I better shut up. But anyway, so that you'd be able to stand firm. Each of these items is essential to you as a Christian. To go into battle, let's just say the shield of faith, to go into battle without the sword would be stupid. Right? To go into battle without a shield or without your armor, you're asking for trouble. You're supposed to have it all on and equipped. All right? So we'll talk about more about that next week. Gary. Yes. Also, in lieu of worship next week, I think we're going to have a communion time in the beginning. Okay? So we're going to have a little time of communion and maybe a song as we take the bread together and we take the grape juice together to represent the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. And before we go, I'm going to do this. I don't normally do it before I finish this book, but I've got a book that I started reading a couple weeks ago. And it's been the first book in about 20 years that I thought, this guy, I've only read half, so I'm always a little nervous about giving away books when I haven't read the whole thing. But people don't know a lot about spiritual warfare and how it works. But I'm telling you, this, when I think, oh, he's going to leave out this. Oh, he's going to be unbalanced here. Oh, it's not going to be meaty in the word. Oh, he's not going to give real examples. He does it. It is fantastic. So the first 50% is good. Gary, you don't have a choice. It's mandatory reading for you. Incoming. So listen, I reserve the right to be able to say, in case it tanks on the last half, but it's so good in the first half that I thought, I got to get this into people's hands. We want to equip you. You need to be raised up. I'm going to tell you somebody something else. Now, this is not for you to give to Uncle Sue or Auntie Bobby or whatever. This is for you to get trained up. Now, I gave this to somebody last week, and you know what they said to me? They said, Pastor Darren, I'm so embarrassed. They said, I just realized I don't know anything about the Word. I'm realizing there's so much I don't know. I'm so embarrassed. Is this the enemy or should I just quit? And I said, oh, it's absolutely the enemy. You know what? When you can humble your heart and say, I'm realizing that I've gone to church for many, many years and I don't know anything. But now I'm learning so much and I'm so excited. That's an awesome place to be. So you just thank the Lord. Is there anyone else who will read it? Okay? Okay. Go up here. All right, let me get a couple. I got a couple more. I'm sorry? Chip Ingram. Not Insight for a Living. That's Chuck Swindoll. One more. There you go. You got it, buddy. Okay, some back there, okay? So a couple of our hands raised back there. You're going to read it? All right, you come and you tell me what you think about it, all right? I'll bring some more next week. But we want to equip you in the Lord so that you can go equip others. Because it's some awesome stuff. Zeke, probably not ready for that one yet. Thank you, though. The book on the couch. Oh, yes. If somebody else, Andy said, wanted to read the Screwtape letters after Andy was done. Who was that? Maybe not hearing this week. Okay. Go back one slide. Yes, before we quit. Oh, yes, ma'am. Really quickly. Sure. For you, Natalie, we'll do it. Did I? That one. Okay. Can I move? Yes. I just, you know what? There'd be a lot of people that want me to move. Why don't we take a minute and let's pray, and then I'll bring some more of those books too for next week. But I want you to let me know what you think. I want you to read it, and I want you to ask God to teach you and to raise you up. Let's pray. Father, first I just want to say thank you, Lord, for the ones that are here today and for the ones that are not. We ask, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you would strengthen them by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would encourage them in your word, Lord God, that you would reveal to them supernaturally, give them understanding as they read your word, Lord, as they read the book on spiritual warfare, that you would teach them, Lord God, that it wouldn't be man, it would be you teaching them, Lord God. Lord, I thank you for every person that's here today. You brought them here for a reason. You're speaking to them even now. If there's anybody here who hasn't given their heart to you, I pray right now that they would make that connection, that they would just give it up to you right now and say, Lord, I want to switch sides. I'm in the enemy's camp right now, and I want to be in your camp, Lord. Clearly, squarely, Lord. I realize you died for me. I realize you rose from the dead, Lord. I realize I'm a sinner, Lord, but I want you to take all those sins, forgive me of my sins. Help me to follow you the rest of my life and to bring glory and honor to you, Lord God. And Lord, I pray that you would save that person. And I pray a blessing on your congregation, Lord, that each person here would grow and be strengthened in the Lord. Here, the ones here, not here, all the ones that are out there with the kids, bless them as well, Lord God. And help us to grow and then to help one another grow. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. God bless you guys. Have a good week. Don't forget about the Bible study Tuesday, women's Bible study, and Wednesday youth.